Hey, welcome to Her Talks. This is your host, Renee. I talk about everything business blended and black. So I highlight entrepreneurs on this podcast. I highlight different things that I'm learning as my journey as becoming an entrepreneur. I also talk about being in a blended family and what that looks like. And of course, it's all through the lens of a 30-something year old black woman living in the South. And I'm just excited to get started with this journey. So thanks for listening. And up soon, you'll hear another edition of Her Talks. Welcome to another edition of Her Talks. I'm your host, Renee Smith. And as you know, on this podcast, we talk about all things business blended and black. And I'm so excited because I have Tasha Askew on the line. Thank you so much for your time. She's an author. She's God's girl. She's all things positivity. So thank you so, so much for your time. Can you kind of explain to the audience a little bit about who you are?
Yeah, sure. So how do I do that? I guess succinctly, I am his daughter. That's my identity that I completely claim now. There was a point in time where I did say everything I did, I do this as my profession, I'm this age, and I'm this, and I'm that. And then when I started to truly learn my identity in him, and he started to really break it down to me, I realized that who I am at my core is his daughter. And so that's what I, you know, identify as now. But thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited.
I am too. So let's talk a little bit about living in HD.
Yes.
That's one of your projects. That's what you do. What does that mean to you, and how did that come about?
Yeah, so Living in HD is actually my virtual ministry, and it's a play on the words of seeing in HD. And so, you know, everybody knows that anything in HD quality always yields better quality, better precision, better, sharper images. You know, you think of HD lens on a camera or HD television show or movies or makeup, it's always better quality. And so I kind of played off of that and used that as a metaphor of the life that you live once you give your life to King Jesus. And, you know, John 10:10, he puts it best when he said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. And when you study that out in the Hebrew and the Greek, that life more abundantly actually translates to the God kind of life. And so that's living in HD. You know, you're living your life with a different flavor, a different quality. You know, it's just better all around.
And that makes total sense. Like, I think a lot of times, you know, and I always go back to this scripture too, you know, that Jesus said, you know, we cannot do anything without him. Like, we have to be connected to the vine. And a lot of times in this world, I find that this is, it's sad and so discouraging sometimes, but we have so many ways to connect and aren't connected. You know, like we have all these different means of technology and, you know, and even for me, like I'm on a mini social media fast, so I'm not doing a complete fast, but I'm limiting my time. And I realize a lot of times, sometimes when I would wake up in the morning, the first thing I would do would be not open my Bible app that's on my phone, but like I find myself going through Instagram or Facebook. And, you know, at first it started off with, I'm just going to share the scripture of the day that I read. And then I somehow go down a rabbit hole and end up on somebody else's page. Yeah. And so there is that importance of being connected. And I think it's so great that you have a virtual ministry, because that is something that people can connect to at any point in time, 24/7. They can go on to Instagram, they can go on to your website, and they can get get that downloaded into their spirit. So that is awesome. I know you have a segment that's called I Do It for the Kingdom, which kind of fits into living in HD and getting out in there. So can you kind of explain that and kind of what that is and how that came about?
Yeah, so Doing It for the Kingdom is something that I started for February. And basically it's just, I saw in millennial culture, there's just this presumption that as a Christian, we are cookie cutter or we have to live a certain kind of way. And I wanted to kind of change that misconception that's going around. And I personally feel like what our Father is doing, you know, he said that in his word that he would pour out his spirit on his sons and daughters. And I see that he's speaking into allowing his children to speak into culture in a way that's really demystifying kingdom. So there are people who perceive the kingdom to be a certain way when really it's none of that, you know. And I think a lot of people kind of refer back to what the Pharisees, the type of life that the Pharisees lived, and they see that as kingdom. Like, oh, there's all these rules and you have to, you know, walk the straight line and you have to do this and do that. And yes, there is a standard. You know, there is truth.
Right.
Truth is a standard. However, he gives us our own unique personalities to express kingdom culture because we're all not called to be pastors, you know. And so in doing that, you can be the owner of a barbershop, and kings that come into the barbershop will be able to see if the glory of our Father is on you, or whether you are a nail technician. You know, when queens come into the nail shop, they can tell, you know, there's a certain kind of something that's, you know, radiating off of her that's just a little bit different. And so doing it for the kingdom, I just really wanted to highlight, spotlight different people in society now who are boldly and unashamedly living their truth for King Jesus. And I mean, just out there really expressing, you know, what kingdom culture is and what that life entails. And so, you know, kind of bringing, playing off of the word doing it for the culture, but it's doing it for the kingdom. So that people are like, okay, you know, I'm resonating with this.
I think that's great because you're right. A lot of times when people think of kingdom, when people think of church, they think of the building. And, I think it's great, you know, fellowshipping is so needed, getting that word. But life happens the other 6 days. So it happens when you're in traffic and somebody cuts you off and you bless them instead of cursing them. It happens when the lady in front of you at Walmart is paying in pennies. And, you know, say like when you're patient.
Real quick.
Like, let me just go ahead and pray. It's when your kids are, you know, being slow, getting ready for school and you got somewhere else to be. I mean, those are the times when really that's doing it for the kingdom because you are a representative, just like you said, of King Jesus.
Exactly.
And so it's important to walk that out. And so it's so great that there is this ministry that's out here that's just highlighting the everyday Christian walk, because I think that's kind of what's missing. You know, like we see these pastors and we see these bishops and apostles and you know, we see them on this level, but you're right, like we are all called to you know, in our spheres of influence, in our own spheres. And so a lot of times we look to the people with the title and we're missing out right there beside us, you know, the person that's sitting beside us on the bus or a coworker or you know, whatever and what have you. So that's good. I love that that's so practical. Like it's good practical living.
And I purposely don't highlight people who are in traditional church administrative leadership roles because of that very reason. You know, I think a lot of what is not attractive to other people who are not yet believers is they see it as a stuffy position. And not to say that all pastors, you know, carry that with them. It's just people need to see different manifestations and expressions of what kingdom looks like and understand that it's multifaceted. You know, it's not just you are behind an altar in a church, but like you said, you know, when you're in Walmart or you're wherever you may be, you know, the fruit of the Spirit needs to come out, and it does come out very clearly when you see a woman or a man who is exercising incredible patience with, you know, a super long line in a supermarket or something. So, yeah, I just try to highlight everyday people who are just doing it for the kingdom.
So you have your own virtual ministry, and in that virtual ministry, you're highlighting everyday people that's, you know, walking the walk and talking the talk. But you also have a clothing line and a book. And I mean, you do so much. What don't you do? I mean, like, I was looking through, I was like, gosh, she does this and she does that. You know, it's very exciting. But I'm like, what don't you do? How do you find that balance and all the things that, you know, God is putting in front of you?
Yeah, so thank you, first off.
You're
thank you so much. And it's funny because when I put things out on social media or I introduce different projects, new projects that he's given me, it's as much as a shock and surprise to me as it is to everyone else. You know, it's just that I've been privy to it a couple days longer than y'all have. And so I give him complete credit for all of it, because I know that none of it is me. I know for a fact that none of it is me. Just the testimony alone that goes with how I wrote and published the book, that alone was enough to tell me, this is not you. This is not you, Tasha. This is all of him. And so everything that has come afterwards, you know, I used to be in a position where I would run from it. I would run from things that he was telling me, because, you know, you shy away from things, or try to have a little select amnesia when, you know, you hear him saying something like, oh, was that me or was that God? You know, clearly that was not you, Tasha. But now it's gotten to the point where he's matured me and developed me and kind of worked on me long enough to where I'm open to receiving it now. And when he tells me things that make no sense to me, and then I just hop on it. I'm like, all right, let's do it. You know, I've taken such a risk on myself for so long that I'm like, you know, now is the time to bet it all on him. I can't lose if I bet it all on him, you know?
Wow.
There's no way I can lose. So, yeah, that's what that is.
Is the book the biggest risk that you've taken so far in your faith walk, or has it been something else that was that pulled you and stretched you just as much or equally or more than writing the book?
That is a good question. Wow. So there, I would say the story that goes along with the book is what has stretched me. So I haven't quite shared publicly everything that has transpired and led up to the book. But so I would say there is something a bit bigger that completely caught me off guard, and I'm like, what? But it did kind of lead up to the book. So the book was a huge stretch for me, only because I was not planning on writing that book. I had no idea. Like, if you would have told me a year ago that I was going to write the book, what? About what? When? Where? For who? How? You know, so many not questions. I just don't know. But when he told me to do it, I was shocked, because right before he told me to do that, he told me to make another huge change in my life, which I am going to share. I am going to share it. It's just, there's so much happening. I want to make sure that, you know, I but he had told me to do something else at the time, and it was a pretty huge change in my life that really affected a lot of working parts. My well-being, my lifestyle, everything. And so when he told me to write that book, my first thought was, wait a minute, do you understand like what my life looks like right now? What do you mean write the book? Like, that's not really in the plans right now. You know, I'm doing some other things. And so I just was obedient. You know, I questioned it for a day. I'm not going to lie and pretend I'm like Patty Perfect. I'm not. I questioned it because I'd never written a book before. So I did question it, but then within a day, I said, let's do it. Like, I'll pray. You know, I prayed before I sat at the computer, and then in 2 weeks, he word vomited 31 chapters out of me. So that's the Holy Spirit.
That's amazing. I mean,
girl,
you hear all these people
it.
Who
I'm still
have.
Sitting looking at him like, huh?
When you hear people talk about writing a lot of times, because I write as well. There's so many times, and I think a lot of it is just us getting in the way, right? Because you're like, oh, I don't like the way this sounds. I don't know. What are people going to think?
Yes, that
you're getting your head. Yes. So I call myself a recovering perfectionist. And so I spend a lot of my time like focusing in on God's grace. Right. Like, just because I might not have done what I exactly heard him say at that point in time, I'm like, I know his grace will come because my heart is in the right space. Like, somebody's got to fight against that flesh. That fear is real.
It is.
And that insecurity is real. And so finding identity in him is vitally important. So that's what I want to talk about, is your book, the identity of the book. You've been talking about it. What's the title? What can we expect from the book?
Yeah.
And, you know, the inspiration.
Yeah, so Yeah, the book is called, thank you, the book is called Teach Supernaturally, and it's 3-minute devotionals that will transform your teaching. And so I was in the teaching profession for quite a while. It wasn't my first career, but it was one of them along the way. And, you know, for any teachers that are listening, everyone knows the struggle. It is something else.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Like, it is.
Right.
It is something else. And my first year in teaching, I struggled immensely, and to the point where mentally, spiritually, physically, it affects every area of you because it's such a demanding job.
Right.
And you're literally called to nations. You know, each child that's in your classroom, you are called to speak into their lives and plant into them. And it wasn't until I really harnessed the relationship with our Heavenly Father, and I really developed intimacy with him, that I received a power that wasn't of myself, you know, in order to get the results that I was able to get in schools. And so basically I kind of, in the book, it's a devotional, it's 31 days and it's 3 minutes a day. So before you start class each day, you can read a little bit, and there's homework in there. It's really laid out for teachers, but other people read it as well. But it basically kind of just explains through my faith how I was able to get the results that I did while teaching, with standardized testing, which is a huge thing in school districts. And there's a way to do it without compromising your calling for being in the classroom. And that's the thing. A lot of teachers, they get in the class and it's, you know, from top down, you hear, we need scores, we need scores, we need scores. Do whatever you need to do to get the scores. But there's a way to teach and educate and fulfill the calling that's on your life without compromising, you know, and giving in to the integrity of what you know our Father has placed in you. So I kind of just give, yeah, go ahead.
No, I really think that that's great, because that was one of the things that when I was reading over your biography that you have on your website, that I was like just blown away by, because you said you can't teach a child unless you love them first. And I was just like,
yes,
yes.
Yes.
I was like, yes, because kids know. They know when they're in a safe space. They know when an adult respects them. They know when a person loves them, and they are more willing to receive it. Even our babies that are challenging. And that was the thing that, when, as you say, you were a teacher, but you did Teach for America. So that's a little bit different than just regular, just everyday, because those are, they put you in the most challenging environments, right? The most challenging areas. And so it really is a sink or swim sort of situation with that. Because I
did. That's the sad part. That's the sad part, because, you know, teachers are put in a position without support and without tools to truly get to the heart of what's going on. And when you really look into it, it's a spiritual battle. You know, it may look like a child is just acting out for the sake of, I don't feel like being in class, I don't want to do what you're telling me to do. But there's spirits that are in there that are, you know, amongst the children that are doing things. And as a believer, you know, it's your position to lead them and guide them, you know, and it doesn't have to necessarily be with you specifically saying that I believe in Jesus Christ and this is my religion, because I didn't do that at all. You know, there's a way to do it.
Right. I think that's the most important piece, though, because going around and saying it, because even God says that about fasting, right? Like, don't disfigure your face. Like, you know, make it like a normal day. Like, don't be, you know, I can't do that because I'm fasting. The same thing with our everyday walk. Like, I'm not going to cuss you out because Jesus isn't part of me. No, like, you don't have to, like, literally verbalize everything. Like, when they see that self-control, that's fruit of the spirit, you know, they start to figure out, like, why are you reacting differently than other people?
Exactly.
And that is what I find so attractive about the book, because, like I said, when I was looking through everything, you're right, it's not just for teachers. Yes, I know that's what you wrote it for, but if you have anybody in your life that's a challenge, or anybody in your life that you are wanting to empower, or I mean, there's so many different ways to look at it. The book is really for everyone. You know, you can, as a mother, I'm always looking for ways to encourage my babies.
My sister, she's reading it now, and she's just like, you know, it helped her to see her kids, my nieces and nephews, differently. And that's been one of the most surprising, I guess, kind of responses that I've had from the book, is the testimonies of people who are not in the education profession, but they say, like, this is really helping me out at work, helping me deal with my coworkers and my boss and how I manage other people that, you know, are on my team. And I'm like, wow,
Right. And that is the ultimate thing of God. Like, I always think about the ripple effect, just that one act of obedience. Like, that's, he wrote the book, and even in your mind, you're like, okay, I'm writing the book for people like me, like other educators, you know. But it turns into God just using it for his glory in all areas, which is so amazing, because it's so beyond us, right? Because you're like, check, I wrote it for these people. And you're like, wait, you're reading it. And you're reading it. And so I think that's beautiful. So if you're listening, tell everybody how they can get your book and how they can get in contact with you and how they can support what you're doing.
Yes. So the book is available on Amazon.com. It's called Teach Supernaturally, and you can either Google it that way or by my name, Tasha Askew. Other ways to get in contact with me, my Instagram handle is livingin_HD. And then my blog is livinginhd.org. So those are the three different ways. And it's living with I-N instead of just the letter N.
Oh, that makes sense. And I'm going to share all the links as well, because I just think it's important.
Thank you.
About the book. I just want people to know how they can get it, how they can support.
Yes,
and then
thank
also,
you.
you're welcome. You know, we've been talking a little bit about just God kind of guiding you. What is the best advice you did not take? What has been something that has kind of like, okay, this has kind of changed some trajectory?
Yeah, I love listening to people's wisdom. Like, I live for that. Just like, what bits of nuggets of truth can you give me? But I would say, when people show you who they are, accept it. Accept it completely, because, you know, a lot of us are out here and we believe the best in people, which is beautiful. That is beautiful. We see potential and we believe the best. But when a person shows you who they are, and that just may be who they are in that season, you need to respect it and accept it and move on. You know, and if it is our Father's will for them to come back, allow him to bring them back. You don't go chase them and try to bring them back or force them into your expectation for their life. You know, we are all given freedom to kind of live our lives the way we want to live it. And although, you know, sometimes when we see people going down a path that we know, you know, wisdom tells us is not the best path, you know, do what you can, but then respect their decision for their choices that they're making. Allow them to show up as who they want to show up. And then just trust that, you know, if they're meant to come back, they will. And if you're meant to play a part in their life, then you will too.
Well, that's good. I think as believers, it sometimes it's hard, right? Like, I know when, especially when I was new in the faith, I'm like, I'm going to go out here. I'm going to be planting.
Say the world.
I'm going to sell out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to weed the stuff out. I'm going to fertilize. And like, God's like, whoa. You just plant the seed. Like, you say your word, do your thing, you know, walk your walk, walk your own journey. Because there are lessons that I had to learn on my own too. And that showed and revealed God to me in a very real way. That if somebody else would have stepped in, I might have been looking at that person and not at God. And God is like, I get all the credit. And you just step out the way and let, because it's that personal relationship. And it's hard. It is. You're right. It's hard because our intentions are good. They're good. Yeah. They're noble. They're good. But at the same time, God is like, I got to work this thing out with them. And then we also don't know the heart of a man. We don't know what's going on, but the things that they're battling with, we only see the outside, you know. And so God is sometimes trying to get some stuff out that we are just unaware of. And so, yes, I agree with that. that is
like,
great.
Yeah, it's almost like robbing someone of their opportunity to have intimacy with our Father, you know, because unfortunately, a lot of times, when we hit rock bottom, that's when the light bulb comes on, you know, and you're in someone's life and you're dictating their every move and decision and not allowing them to show up as who they are, then you're robbing them of that intimacy, you know, that our Father, that open door, the invitation that he's extending to them to go deeper, you know. So That was a tough one for me. I didn't always understand it, but nowadays I'm like, okay, they showed me back up, Tasha, back
up.
You
got to believe them.
Yeah.
Any sort of advice for anybody that is sitting on the fence? Like, God has said, do something bigger than me, but I'm scared.
Faith, walk
any advice?
I know it's so much easier to just tell someone that than to have them experience it and go through it. But I would say the thing that has helped me tremendously with stepping out on water with some of the wildest things that he's told me to do and is telling me currently to do would be to spend incredible amounts of time with him. That is your source. That is your strength. That is your game changer if you ever needed one. Because going to people, and I'm guilty of this myself, where I would go to people to kind of seek approval for the things that he would tell me to do, you know, and I would kind of go to this person like, oh, well, he told me to do this, and what do you think about this? And the issue is that a lot of things that he tells us does not sound logical because it's, you know, we're operating in our fleshly minds. And so to go to a person, a human being, a created being, to get confirmation about something that a supernatural being told you to do, you know, doesn't make sense in itself. So once I started having really deep, quiet time with him, and I mean going in intimate time, take however long you need to and do it in whatever way you need to. You know, it doesn't have to be the same every day that, oh, I sit with him for 1 hour every single day. That may be your story. But it may not be. It may be that when I'm in the driving in the car, I get my deepest revelation. Or it may be that when you're in the shower, you get your deepest. But I would say whatever you do, make sure that you are extremely intentional about spending time with him, because he'll give you the strength to walk on water when you are just ready to stay on the shore, because it's comfortable. You know, everybody, you know, we're knit that way. Like, comfort is where we need to be. Sweet spot. But yeah, the more you spend time with him, he'll give you this inner fortitude that doesn't come from yourself, that propels you to do things that you would never do on your own.
That's so good. Well, I want to say this. I am a book hopper. I'm in the midst of reading some other books, but I do plan on purchasing your book.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I would love to kind of chat a little bit about the essence of the book once I actually kind of go through it. So I'd love to have you on again. This should not be our last time.
I would love that.
And tell them one more time how they can get in contact with you, where they can buy the book, all of those things.
Yeah, so the book is on Amazon.com, Teach Supernaturally. My Instagram handle is LivingIn_HD. And the blog where I post the Doing It for the Kingdom and all of these other tips and things like that concerning kingdom life is LivingInHD.org.
Wonderful. I hope you guys go and support. It's so important to support other people that have been walking in their truth and walking in their purpose, because it honestly, it ignites something inside of you. Like, oh, because God is not a respecter of persons. Like, that's the thing. I just want people to understand, like, you walked into what God told you to do. And so hopefully by somebody
it's
else
all
getting
about
this
the obedience.
Book, that they too will feel that fire, because you wrote it for a specific purpose, and whenever anybody gets it at that point in time, it's for that season for them. So I'm so excited for people to get this book in their hands. I'm excited to get it into my hands and read
it. Thank you. I'm excited too, just to even
too.
Be here. I love
this. This is so awesome. So thank you so much for your time. And you guys, make sure you go out and purchase the book, and I'll be back here next week with another edition of Her Talk.
Again, thank you so much for listening to another edition of Her Talks. It's important for me to highlight other people, especially other women, especially other Black women that are walking purposely into their purpose. I find it encouraging, and I hope that you do as well. When you purchase a book that somebody has written, when you purchase a t-shirt, or you go to a play, or you do something that is supporting a local person or somebody that is not on a national platform, you are literally sowing a seed into a dream. And many of us have dreams that have yet to manifest. And so my hope is that you will see that by sowing into somebody else's dream, that you too can make your dreams come true as well. This podcast was a dream of mine, you know, sharing my ideas, highlighting other women. That was something I've been wanting to do for quite some time. I just wasn't sure how to go about doing it. So I'm always excited and so grateful for each and every guest that I have had on the show. If you have any suggestions or anybody that you would want to highlight on Her Talks, please submit the request. I'm always open to kind of hearing from you, you know, herbyrenee.com, as well as herbyrenee on Instagram and Facebook. I hope to hear from you guys soon. See you next week.